What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Beast Mode podcast. My name is Erin Bees, and I am a wife, a mom, a military veteran, and I spent 13 and a half years in multi-level marketing. I am so grateful because I've healed my way out of it. And now I am using my social media platform, including this podcast, to raise awareness and educate people on the dangers of multi-level marketing companies, and also highlight the tactics and methods that some of these people in these companies try to recruit you. So I am really excited today because I have my friend Kat here. And Kat, you want to say hi?
Hi.
And Kat's going to talk to us today about, she was a part of Premier Jewelry, which we don't think is around anymore, and also 31 Gifts. So I'm excited. 31 has an income disclosure statement, so we're going to talk about that. And more importantly, we're going to hear from Kat. So Kat, do you want to tell everybody who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, I'm Kat. I'm a small business owner, and I own the Kat's Crochet, where I crochet tiny hats for tiny mugs. It's really hard to picture when I say that, but they're basically like seasonal decor. It's a little mug that you put a hat on that like goes with the holidays. So like a Santa hat or an Easter bunny or things like that. And I am taking a break from my education. I finished 2 associate's degrees before taking out student loans to finish my bachelor's. And then eventually I'm going to go to law school. But right now I'm doing my business to save for that.
Love that. And I'll put your website and everything in the show notes so people can go and shop on your website too. So
awesome.
Yeah. And okay. So tell us your story. Tell us about Premier Gifts. And one of the things that I really like to highlight is when you were recruited, because I don't know this story. We've never talked about this like in this depth. So in this story, if there were vulnerable points that you can pinpoint before you were recruited, I think that that's very important to share. Like whatever you feel comfortable sharing, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't have possibly been any more vulnerable. 2 weeks after I graduated high school, we were hit by a drunk driver and I shattered my ankle and had brain damage. And so I ended up going to college, but then had a lot of issues and medically withdrew. And then that next year, I was like itching to get out of the house. Like all my friends were in college and sit through classes and stuff. So I decided that I wanted to be a nanny. And I'd always loved kids and worked with kids. And so I was looking for a nanny job where it would be like more of like, it's called like a mother's helper, where you live with them, but you're just basically like the mom's assistant. And so you're taking care of the kids like with her. And I ended up moving to Pennsylvania to work with this family. It was supposed to be, she had some health conditions and needed to like take naps in the afternoon and needed me to like be with the kids alone during that. But the rest of the time, like it was supposed to be us. But I ended up managing the entire household, doing literally everything, cooking, cleaning, planning meals, shopping, taking care of the kids from when they got up to when they went to bed, because she was always busy in her MLM.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where this was turning. Okay. I mean, what a cool job to be. I mean, yeah. Essentially you were a nanny.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Although you weren't hired to be a nanny. You were hired to be.
Well, I was hired to be a nanny. It's just like the section of nanny that I was, it wasn't like, because there's like different levels. And since I had like worked with kids a lot, but I hadn't had a live-in job before. So I thought that like it would be easier to like start out with one where I was more assisting than just because I had never managed a household at, you know, 19.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's really cool. So was she in Premier Jewelry? Is that where this all started?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she was in Premier Jewelry. Yeah. And I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was really stressful because I had no idea like the amount of work that I was going to be doing, but like I ended up like, I loved the kids and I liked the family. And there was lots of like love bombing and gifts and thank yous. And like, oh, I couldn't do this without you. You know, like, I don't know. So at the time I didn't like see that there was anything wrong with it. And I like didn't realize that I was being like so taken like advantage of. Because like eventually it went from like I was helping, like I was doing everything with the kids during the week, and then the dad would be home on the weekends, and then I would be working with her Premier Jewelry with her on the weekends. So like I had no time off like ever. It was like 7 days a week, either with the kids or like on the weekends going to like craft shows and like helping set up the booth.
Oh my God.
And then like, yeah, like eventually, like I like started, like she, like I started with like her going to like look at another booth, and a customer came up and like was asking me questions. And so I got like kind of excited about it and was telling them about everything. And then I got a sale, and then she was just like so excited and so proud of me and everything. But I'm pretty sure at the time she was just having me like help her, because I don't think you could have two consultants in the same household. So she wasn't like she had never like even like brought up me like joining or anything like that, because I'm pretty sure like she wasn't allowed to. So I was just kind of like,
well, and she had you helping her and she was paying you for something else, but why not also add this to your duties and responsibilities? She ought to be ashamed of herself, in my opinion. Like that's, I'm sorry that that happened to you. I know you loved the kids and you were young, and wow, the fact that you were going to these like trade shows and stuff with her and helping her, you know, gain sales, and yikes.
Yeah. And so I don't know.
You were an assistant, but you weren't actually like a distributor in the company.
Right. Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. So that didn't happen until later. But I don't know. It was really like heartbreaking for me, for the kids, and especially because eventually I ended up having to leave. And when I left, it was just so awful to leave them, because like I had become their mom. Like they came to me when they had nightmares. They came to me when they got hurt, because she was always on her phone or her laptop, and like in calls and doing stuff with her business. And like it ended up, I'm not gonna speculate as to like how much her medical conditions like kept her away from mothering, because I'm not really sure, but I know that like her MLM is what kept her away like the majority, because she was always, you know, doing something with that. So
that was sad. Yeah, and I mean, I know that was definitely, maybe not to this extreme, but that was definitely what I experienced when I was in MLM. You know, the MLM becomes the priority slowly over time, and the family life and social events and stuff like that, that are not related to the MLM, where those used to be kind of the priority. And then you worked the business in those the extra time that you had in your day, it flip-flopped. So the MLM became the top priority, and then, you know, relationships, social life, rest, all of those things, if you could fit it in, you would fit it in. So I mean, I feel bad for her too, especially with having any kind of health challenges and you know, So what happened after that?
Well, so it was really strange, because I noticed like I kind of felt like she was like trying to like isolate me a little bit. Like there's one conversation, because I mean it's been, well, I'm like 33 now and I was 19, so it's been a long time. So like I don't have any like vivid memories of like any conversations except for this one. And there was one where she was like telling me about how like she thinks that like I talk to my mom too much, and that like she has too much input in my life, and that like I'm 19 now and like I need to kind of like step away, and like I'm in a whole nother state. Like I almost died in a car accident a year ago, so my mom is like, I mean, she's never hovered or anything like that at all, but like she's concerned about me. Like I had health issues too. So that was just like so odd to me. Like, and that kind of made me angry, because like, I don't know, I have the best family in the world. So I was just like, how dare her? Like my mom's awesome.
Yeah. That definitely sounds like she was for sure overstepping. Like that's crazy. Yeah.
Well, it gets crazier. So, There was one day I was out back with the kids, and they were playing in like this little, like, I don't know what to call it other than like a Fred Flintstone car, where like they would sit in it and their feet would be down, and then they would like drive it with their feet. So it wasn't like an electric thing, like just like a mini like Fred Flintstone thing where they could like move around the yard. Cool. And one of them ran over my bad ankle, like hit my bad ankle with it.
Ouch.
And so I don't think I even like said anything at first, but like eventually it got to the point where I was like limping a lot, and then like it just wasn't getting better. So I went to a orthopedist, and they took one set of x-rays and told me that I needed to have it's called a subtalar fusion, but it's like a major, major ankle surgery that they don't like to do on people that are younger. Like, I was told I would never be able to walk on uneven surfaces after I had this. I would never be able to hike or run. And it was going to be like a really debilitating, big deal surgery. And she wanted me to get it done there. She wanted me to live there and have this surgery there.
Who was going to take care of you, though, recovering from the surgery?
My mom, who she had been like trying to get me to like separate from before this. She was like, your mom can come and stay.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, like I knew my mom would end up taking care of me and taking care of the kids.
Well, that, yeah.
Like she had, like, I don't know. I'm sure she just got lucky with me, because like most people wouldn't have done everything that she like had me doing, because I just didn't really know how to say no. And so like I was doing like above and beyond what my like responsibilities were. And most people would be like, sorry, no.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was 19 as well, you know, I think that we learn how to set boundaries with people. I don't think it was until I got out of MLM that I really started to set boundaries and really had started to have an understanding of what that means, and that saying no, you know, and not allowing everybody to have so much access to me. Those are healthy boundaries. And I think at 19, we don't know anything about anything, in my opinion, you know,
so yeah,
I
get where you're
coming from.
Yeah. You know?
Wow. Okay. So did you have the surgery?
Yes. I ended up moving home. And that is when, before I left, of course, I signed up for Premier Jewelry, because I mean, I knew I was going to have surgery and not really have much to do. And I had done like pageants growing up and like scholarship pageants and stuff. And so I'd always like really liked like dressing up like professionally. And like that kind of like went along with the Premier Jewelry. Like you always had to like dress, I don't know, like business-y, I guess. And then like I liked all the jewelry. A lot of it I didn't like, but it was expensive. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like the opposite of like paparazzi. Like most of the pieces were like, I don't know, $35 to $55. And they were, I mean, not necessarily the quality. I mean, some of them are nicer. I still have some pieces. Like I have a necklace that I still wear.
Yeah.
But it was just, I thought it would be a nice distraction. So I signed up for that. And then I'm not really sure. Like everything after moving is kind of a blur, because I ended up having the surgery. And then I actually ended up having, I got diagnosed with epilepsy about a month after the surgery. And I think like, they think it's like my brain damage from the car accident that just like was kind of like dormant for a year and didn't really. And so then I was having seizures and I don't know, just like all kinds of issues. And so I didn't really sell very much. I had my mom like helped me mainly. And so we would have parties with like her friends, and her friends would come over and that kind of thing. But I didn't even really have upline there, because my upline was in Pennsylvania. So I didn't have any like meetings or anything like that to go to.
Yeah.
And so eventually, I'm not sure at what point, but at some point, I'm not really sure when I quit, but eventually a different friend got me to sign up for 31. And that was, I was like a lot more involved with that and would go to like the meetings and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause it was local to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was local to me.
Yeah. I was going to ask, but I think you kind of answered my question. So did you end up signing under the lady that you were a nanny for?
Yeah.
So she was like, well, she took care of my kids for a while.
I can't use her here.
Yeah. So, but now she doesn't live in my household. So now she's already trained. I've already trained her. I can hear some of the thought process that I think that she would be having. Are you still in contact with her at all or anything?
As soon as I left the premiere, the contact ended completely, which was like heartbreaking for me because the kids, like, I wanted to know like what happened with them. I wanted to like watch them continue to grow up, even though I like couldn't be there anymore.
Yeah.
And so like, cause it was so hard on me and on them when I left.
Yeah.
Like that's another day that I like vividly remember, just leaving them was so hard because I'd been with them like 24 hours a day for a while. So
yeah. Yes. Well, hopefully as they get older, you'll be able to make contact with them, you know, when they're adults, and which they're probably close to.
I know. I was gonna say they probably are.
Yeah. I mean, I would look if it were me and they were, you know, legal adults, mm-hmm. maybe look for them on social media. That'd be kind of cool to reconnect with them.
Yeah.
Aww.
I don't know. Like they were, one was 2 and one was 4 and one was 5. So they might not.
They're all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should try and look for them. That'd be kind of cool. And then, you know, you can tell us in the Discord if you feel like sharing. That would be really cool to watch. Very cool. Okay. So 31. So you signed up with 31 with a friend. She was local. And you were doing parties. And for those of you listening, in case you're not familiar with 31, they're called 31 Gifts. They have a bunch of bags that you can customize and different things. And they do in-home parties. I know that when I lived in New Mexico and was in my MLM, my first one, I went to a lot of 31 parties. In fact, I used to use I think it was the utility tote or something. And I used to carry, I would show lingerie at my parties when I was in the romance industry, and I would have them on body forms, and the body forms, I would stack one on top of the other. And so I had maybe 10 or 15 of these body forms, maybe a little bit more than that. And I would stack them and I would keep them in the 31 utility tote. And that's how I would bring it in. And I think it had like Slumber Parties by Aaron on the bag or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with 31, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are also familiar with 31, but tell us about your experience.
I don't know. I was like, at this point, I was basically like disabled. Like there were times where my doctors like encouraged me to file for disability, but like, we knew that, like, I felt like once I did that, it was like done. And then like, I don't know. I just didn't really want to, but my parents were like, I'm really fortunate that like I had an amazing family that was able to support me. And so that wasn't really like a concern. And so, I mean, I wanted money to like do my own things, but at that time I wasn't really able to like move out of the house or anything. So it wasn't like super about the money, but like it felt like I didn't even like necessarily realize how much money my parents gave me because like, you know, I would get the check and my mom would give that to me, but she was paying everything else for it.
Mm.
So like, I didn't really see like the back end and like how much we were like really probably losing, because it was really like us. Like it wasn't like, I was the consultant that was like signed up for it, but my mom like helped me like just as much, if not more sometimes. So
yeah,
it was kind of like a combination thing. But I did recruit one person, and it was like someone in my upline. It was like her cousin or a friend of hers. And it was a really long drive. We had to drive like 3 or 4 hours to go meet with her. And so we did a party with her there. And then she signed up, and then she had like, cause she had signed up because she was like looking like for friendship and for like extra money, because I think her husband was like in between jobs. And like, that's when I kind of realized like, this isn't how they make it sound, because like everyone around here acts like they're so successful and like it's so easy and they're making so much money. And like, I had already realized it wasn't easy, because I mean, I would have a party and two or three people might buy something and then my mom would buy the rest, so I like could get the, so they could get the hostess gifts and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I had like, you know, I was kind of cheating with my mom helping a lot. But with that, I realized she was just really struggling to make sales, and her the community there, since she was my downline, she didn't have like a group of people or like meetings to go to. Yeah. And so she was only in it for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. And then she ended up leaving.
So you, from the sounds of it, you weren't really making a whole lot of money because you were spending more than what was coming in to get the discounted hostess stuff.
Yes. Like my mom was a teacher, and she still like directs the church choir, and she's involved in like a million things, and she's always got like gifts to get for people, and then she just like loves gifting anyway. And so she would like just buy a bunch of stuff and like put it away and like use it as gifts or like for like, because there's always like at graduation, I guess they're her students, but there's always like 4 or 5 kids she like gets presents for every May. Aww. And so she would like get them like bags with their name on it and that kind of thing, because it is a really easy gift to give. Like, yeah. I've actually given my like future sister-in-law, like that's what we've been giving her, like a piece like every couple of months since she went to college. So
I think I feel like that's the deceptive part about this, especially this company, is the fact that, you know, you're taught, it sounds like, to give this stuff as gifts. But if it's a business, you're supposed to be making money, you know, and, you know, this is where the whole profit and loss statement kind of comes in. But, and this is a Christian-based company too, isn't it?
Yes. Very much so. Yeah.
Okay.
And we liked that too. Like, that was something we were really drawn to.
Yeah. And I mean, that's cool. We respect all religions here. All beliefs. It's all good. I have a hard time with businesses that are MLM businesses that are using religion to indoctrinate their people and kind of keep them around longer, which is something that we're definitely seeing, especially on social media. If it's a business event, it should be a business event, I feel like.
Right. Yes, it should be completely separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very manipulative, and it makes you feel worse about leaving because, like, you want to support a Christian business and that kind of thing. So
yeah, I get that. Well, let's talk about this income disclosure statement. I'm going to put this in the show notes as well. This comes directly from 31, and it looks like this is from 2019. So this is just what I searched, and 2019, it looks like this is the most current. And looking at this, it has a chart on here that says the consultant's yearly income, and then on the other side of the column is percent of all consultants. So I'm just going to go through this, and then if you have some awareness around kind of where you were at, mm-hmm. feel free to be like, I think that's probably where I was at, because most people in MLM, they have no idea.
Right.
They know what they make on paper, but
yeah,
because they're not taught to do a profit and loss statement, which is a very basic business tool, you know, they have no idea the overhead of their business, what they're actually spending on product. And that's not, I'm obviously not shaming you. It's just, I remember being in that scenario and not doing any of this stuff or having any awareness around it. So let's go through this. So 23.9% of consultants in 31 gifts, according to their income disclosure from 2019, made less than a dollar. Is there a, so they probably have starter packs or some sort of like a business kit that you join? Yes.
Yeah, they have the business kit. And then I was actually, because my mom knows how like passionate I am about like the anti-MLM community. And I have like slowly been explaining it and like that kind of thing. But I don't know. But anyway, she was saying that they, that's like, it's not that big of a deal because she only has to spend, I'm just going to round it up to $200. It's maybe like 175, something around there, like okay. every 3 months. So like you're automatically having to do that to stay active. So okay. it's like $800 a year you're having to spend, not even counting like any of the fees or like the, your kit and that kind of thing. So there's already an $800 gone.
Wow. Okay. So I'm looking at their specials for this month. And you know how Pruvit is doing their join for a dollar?
Yes.
They're doing a join for a dollar thing.
Stop it.
So oh I'm gosh. Wondering if there's some sort of a distributor fee. Is there like that covers the website and all of that stuff, the back office?
When I did it, the internet wasn't anything like it is now. I mean, it was back in like maybe like 2008, 2009, and my memory isn't so good, so I'm not really sure about that.
Okay. Well, what I think, and this is just my opinion, I think this is probably similar to what Pruvit is doing, where you can join for a dollar, which is the distributor fee, the annual fee that it typically covers like the website and the back office, you know, some digital quote unquote tools, those types of things. But then they have three kits listed. So they have the basic bestsellers for $59, $272 value, they say. They have the signature fan faves, which is a $448 value for $99. These prices should speak volumes to people.
Yes.
Then they have this one is my favorite, the ultimate goal getter, which is an $800 value for $179. These bags, I would venture to say, based off of the prices and the discount on this, they probably make for pretty cheap. And if there's one thing that we know about multi-level marketing companies, they overprice their products to pay the commissions and the team building bonuses. So yeah, what do you think about those prices and stuff?
That's mind blowing. And that right there is why it was, well, my mom like supported me because like she's an educator and she knew like I could learn skills from that. And I mean, I did, I have my own small business now and I took a lot of the things I learned doing that into this, but she's always like, we've always loved shopping and she likes a good deal. So if you present her with that, like, you know what I mean? Like she's going to get the $200 one, like every time, like just to get $500 worth or whatever. And that's just crazy. I'm sure it was at least maybe $100 was the smallest amount back when I signed up. There was definitely no like $50 or $60 option. That's just interesting. Crazy.
Well, we do know, and again, my opinion, that recruiting is, they're trying to make it more appealing. I really do think it's because of the anti-MLM movement and the information that is getting out there, the poor behavior that is being showcased, if you will.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's kind of cool that I think this is one of the ways that we're starting to see this. We're seeing kits drop and I mean, they're always going to have like kit sales and stuff, every company, but
yeah.
All right, let's go back.
Dramatic difference.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Let's go back to the income disclosure statement. 20.7% of consultants, according to their disclosure from 2019, made $1 to $99. A year, by the way, this is yearly income. And then 42.8% made $100 to $999. So already we're at what, 86, almost 87% of the company made less than $1,000 in the year in 2019.
Yeah, and if you count what they have to spend, maybe they made maybe $100 like, or 200. Like,
yeah, because you said 800 is typically what you would spend
around. Well, I'm sure. I mean, you could probably, I would assume it might be sales. My mom isn't really selling it. Like, she like has friends that buy from her, but she mainly still uses it for gifts. So
yeah,
like, but I would say most of the consultants don't, at least the people I knew, were buying a lot. So like, I don't know, like just the average consultant didn't have even $800 in sales a year or 200 every couple months.
Yeah. So. And if they're within these three tiers that we're talking about here, you know, almost 87%, it's costing them money to be a part of it. They're definitely in the red.
Yeah. And getting nothing for their time.
Yeah.
They're just giving that away.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Then we have, so a large chunk of people make made $100 to $999 in 2019. But then we have a huge jump of $1,000 to $1,999 for the year, but only 7.2% of people made that. So we go from 42% to 7.2.
And what's the level?
$1,999.
Oh, wow. And that's still, I mean, not compensating you for your time.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering if the big jump are people that are recruiting.
Oh, definitely. I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we have another jump, or not a jump, it's actually the opposite, drop. 2.1% made $2,000 to $2,999. These are definitely recruiters.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 0.8% made $3,000 to $3,999. 0.8%. 0.4% made $4,000 to $4,999. So like, we can see this is a very typical income disclosure statement that shows that, you know, almost 87% of people in this company in 2019, according to their income disclosure statement, made less than $999 or less for the year. You know, and I think it would be really interesting if these companies provided turnover rates.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
they will never do that.
Yeah, no, because that would be so telling.
Yeah. I mean, I would just guess that most people do not continue with it. Like, I feel like what my mom is doing is like crazy super rare. And if everyone in the whole company was just only buying it for themselves and their friends, having a couple friends place orders with them, but not recruiting people, like, she's never even considered doing that. Like, she would never.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's not like that at all. People are presented this like you can make money from it. You can change your life. And
yeah, this business is life changing. For who?
Right.
For the top of the pyramid, sure. But for everybody else that's just ordering products, which I've said this before, I know we've talked about it before, the distributors are the customers. And this kind of shows that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, what's really wild to me.
You what? I'm sorry.
Sorry. What's wild to me is, so with my small business, I was crocheting my little hats and selling them on Mercari. And then people would ask what I was doing and it felt weird. So I decided to start an Etsy shop because that sounded more official, I guess. And then I started selling my mugs. And so I invested, my first order was maybe like $300. And that's all I invested. Ever since then, I've been putting the money like back into my business. And in my first year, I net, gosh, I think my sales were like 60K. And then I net like 15K was like what
wait,
was
you're
like.
Not even, wait, we need to pause, ma'am. Because you're saying this like you're not celebrating. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's it.
That is a lot of work what you're doing, and you have a thriving business. You sold $60,000, even though you are going to need to replenish your supplies, like you're talking about. You're reinvesting to get probably different supplies, better supplies, those types of things, but you still net 15K.
Yeah. It's wild. It's difficult because I don't necessarily, like, I didn't even really know that until I like calculated everything, because I don't really see it that much. And that's certainly not what I would normally make to like support myself. But since I'm doing it full time, it gets difficult. But we finally took out our first business loan, and I actually am going to the bank this afternoon to finish giving them some paperwork, because I need help. Because I've been doing this. I've been working how you would have to work in an MLM to get any kind of like success, like 7 days a week. Like there hasn't been a single day in the last year that I wasn't doing something for my business. But the difference is it's not always going to be like that. And like I'm going to be able to hire help, and then I will be giving someone else like a solid paycheck, and then they'll be giving me more time. And so I don't know. It's just so different. And one thing that's really important to me that I've talked with Avery a lot about is that if you have any kind of success selling in your MLM, you could have that kind of success elsewhere, like with Mercari and Etsy. And there's like, I don't know, lots of other like options online. And so it just makes me so sad that these women put all this time and money into their business that's not a business, when they could really have their own business.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of skills that I learned, especially with social media, from when I was in an MLM and having to be creative, you know, mm-hmm. and understanding how to get certain messages across. I mean, it was very manipulative, but there were social media skills that I definitely learned. I definitely learned how to be comfortable on camera. That's for sure. That came from social media, or from, you know, being in MLM and going live all the time. So I definitely think that there are some positive things in any situation, in any scenario, there's typically positive things that you pull from it. There's negative things that you learn to avoid or set boundaries around. And I think that's human nature. So I love that you have this thriving business, and I just think it's so cool that you have the awareness around it. I do hope that your mom can get out of 31 soon, because I'm sure it's costing her a lot of money. And I'm sure that there are so many dupes for cute little bags that you can put monograms and stuff on, you know, elsewhere, that it's not costing her so much.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully someday. She's very, I don't know, like in my mind, she's always been perfect. And so I have a lot of like perfectionist like traits like from that. And so I can never tell her what to do or suggest that she do something. Like, she tells me what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that someday, eventually, I don't know. I need to look into like finding something similar that's like more affordable.
Yeah. There's a Facebook group for dupes. Are you in that group?
And maybe, I'm not in it, but I'm aware of it. I need to be.
Yeah, I can add you if you want me to, but that would be, I don't think I've seen anything on 31 Gifts, but like that would be a really great place to have a conversation and see if maybe other people are looking for stuff or have found stuff, you know. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I love that. Well, I think this was a really cool conversation. I appreciate your time so much. I know you have to get to the bank here probably pretty soon, because we started late because of technical difficulties. So thanks for being so patient.
No problem. Thank you.
And is it okay if everybody connects with you on social media and stuff too?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, so I have ADD, and so I have as soon as I have someone in the house helping, I will have so much more time. But like right now during the day, mostly I like make myself stay off of my phone. So I'm not always the fastest to reply on social media, because if I pick up my phone, I'm going to be on it for like longer than I should be. And so
I think that's all of us, honestly. Yeah, so I get it. Definitely. But I'll put your Instagram, and I'll put your website in the show notes so that you guys can go see some of the stuff that Kat makes. And they're so cute. She puts it in our Discord. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. So go and shop on her website, connect with her on social media. Kat, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation, and thank you guys for listening. And Kat, do you have anything that you'd like to say in closing?
Well, thank you for having me. I just want to, give a little motivation. I still have so many health issues, and I don't let that stop me. I don't let my ADD stop me. I don't let my brain damage stop me. So, if you have a dream or a goal, just keep trying and just work towards it, because you can do, anything you work towards.
I think that is the perfect ending. Literally perfect. All right, everybody, go follow Kat, shop on her website, and thank you guys for listening, and I will see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.